Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastor Jay Eberle. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
Well, I want to look at what happened in when Jesus was born. Whenever he was born, certain things that the New Testament says happened, and that actually the Old Testament prophets prophesied. And see how many things that we don't have time to get to all the things that the prophets prophesied about Jesus' birth and his life and his death and all the things that they predicted ahead of time, 700 years ahead of time. Sometimes way back in the book of Genesis, things were said that are, more than 2,000-3,000 years, could have been 4,000 years before Jesus came on the scene and it was all fulfilled. And we want to look at that because if it's going to be that people accuse us of being foolish for believing that Jesus came, that he was born in a manger, he was virgin born, and that these things actually happened, that he was born in Bethlehem. If those things are foolish to believe, then let's look at just the mathematical probability. Amen. Of what the prophets prophesied between 700 and 4,000 years before it happened. What are the mathematical possibilities that those things could be predicted all those years ahead? Literally, Bible scholars vary between 300 and 333 different prophecies that were predicted ahead of time about Jesus' life. And every one of them came to pass. What are the mathematical probabilities? Let's just let be all the, well, I believe it because I've experienced it. Let's set that all aside. We've all experienced it. We have the witness of the Spirit. We've seen God move in our life. We know it's real. And the Bible, and we know that. But let's just set that all aside and let's be analytical, like the world wants to be today, and see if mathematically there is any probability that all 333 verses would come to pass, having been predicted many, many years ahead of time. Yeah. And let's see who's the fool. Yeah. Y'all there? You going home? There are, we can just say play it safe, 300 different scriptures that prophesied things about Jesus' life. And in those 300 scriptures, there are 456 unique predictions about what Jesus' life would be like, how he would be born, when he would be born, where he would be born, to whom he would be born. You know, and then that there aren't just 300, we'll just round to the 300 about his birth, but 300 about his entire life. We're going to look at some of the probability. We're going to look at some of the things that the prophets prophesied. We're going to look at how it was fulfilled. And then we're going to, at the end of this, we're going to look at the mathematical probability of somebody being able to predict all those things 100% accurately ahead of time. Now, how many of you know we have today mathematic probabilities, mathematic impossibilities, and mathematic possibilities? Now, I was trying to find on the internet. I couldn't actually find it. Maybe some of you scholars here could, or math wizards or whoever could tell me what actually equals a mathematical impossibility. And the best that I could find, it must vary from subject to subject or something. I don't know why I couldn't find it very easily. But somewhere in the range of 10, a 10 with 50 zeros after it. One chance in a 10 with 50 zero after basically gets close to a mathematic impossibility. Now, some people say that's a little too conservative, but even if we put it up to 100 zeros after it, then it's pretty safe. It's a mathematical impossibility. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, for example, let me give you an illustration. There is a certain mathematical probability that you could be president of the United States. Did you know that? Or that you could in the future sometime be elected president of the United States. The mathematical probability of becoming president is one chance in 10 with a 10 with 7 zeros after it. That's a mathematical possibility of you being the president of the United States. The mathematical possibility of you being struck by lightning is 1 in 700,000 chances. The mathematical possibility of you being killed by lightning is 1 in 200 million chances. I'm sorry, no, that's wrong. 2 million chances. You got too many zeros there. 2 million chances. The mathematic possibility of a meteor landing in your on your house is 1.8 times 10 with 14 zeros after it. The mathematical possibility, if Jesus doesn't come, of course, of you dying is 1 in 1. Right? So, I mean, that's beyond probable. It's very possible. It's just going to happen. If now I'm talking about if Jesus doesn't come back, you know. So you understand the what I'm talking about. What is the possibility of certain things happening? And by the end of this, you're going to find out that it'd be more probable that you be struck by lightning, killed by lightning, become president, and a meteor land on your house all in one day, then really it would be that Jesus not be the Messiah. Probably even a more chance than that. It probably, you could add in some other things. You could be struck by lightning, killed by lightning, become president, a meteor land in your house, be elected president at 1 year old, and be elected president with, now I'm just trying to be humorous here, but be elected president with 2 belly buttons. You know, because the possibility of it'd be more possible for Jesus to be the Messiah based on all the predictions and them coming to pass than for all those things to happen on one day. How many of you know the more you add in other factors? For example, let's just take being president. There's a possibility of you being elected president, but the more factors you add in, the less probability that there is. In other words, the possibility of you being president just as an adult, we already read that. What is it? 1 in 2 million. No, that's wrong. 1 in 10 million. 1 in 10 million. But then if you say the possibility of you being president if you're 1 year old, how many of you know that factors in something else that takes the probability way down there where it's much less likely? Well, then if you add in the probability of you being president with all those factors factored in, plus you were born with lime green hair, makes it even less probable. Isn't that right? See, the more things you add in, the less probable it becomes. And Jesus, and the Bible added in 456 different things to make it less probable. You understand? If any of those things didn't come to pass, less probable that he's the Messiah. But because it's all those things put together, the possibility of him not being the Messiah as foretold by the prophets is beyond impossible. So you want to look at some of these things? How many of you following where I'm going now? Let's think about some of the different things that the prophets prophesied way back in the beginning throughout many of these years. And let's see if we can find out if just mathematical possibility that Jesus is the Messiah. Amen. That he was who he said he was. And by the way, if he was who he said he was, how could he have arranged all the men before? If he was not God, how could he have arranged all those men to prophesy all those things hundreds and thousands of years before his life whenever he wasn't even born yet? How can somebody that's not been born even arrange all those things? Okay, maybe he was born and arranged some of the things after his life was started to match some of the things they prophesied. But what about all the things before he was born? How can you do that? You can't do that unless you're God. Amen. You hear on the news, or not on the news, but you hear certain channels, the History Channel, some of these channels, they're real into these things like Nostradamus now and all these guys that predicted all these things. Go check up on how many of the things they said come to pass, and you'll find out their rate of success is not very hot. You know, you predict something, you got a 50-50 chance it coming to pass. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. So there's only one real true Jesus. There's only one true Messiah. And if he is who he said he is, there's many reasons that he is who he said he is. But just based on the mathematical probability, he has to be who he says he is. And if that be the case, then what is the possibility that you die and go to heaven without receiving him? You understand what I'm talking about? If he is who he said he is, then we've got to listen to everything he said to do. Yeah, and it's important then that we don't just throw it aside and say, nah, that's not really who he is. And besides that, throughout the Old Testament, the Bible predicts the Messiah, the Old Testament does, before Jesus came on the scene. And it gives us, you know, today we have, for example, we have DNA tests that can, like, let's say a crime was committed and DNA is found on the crime scene and they can find out who it was. Maybe they can find the DNA in somebody's blood or something. They can find out who it was that was there because their DNA is on the knife handle or whatever, you know. They can find out through DNA because of the vast variety of amounts of DNA, and the uniqueness in each individual, you could say. They can know with certainty that so-and-so is the criminal, you know. You understand what I'm talking about? So whenever God, I believe God is a very unique God. I believe throughout the whole Old Testament, God put Jesus' DNA, so to speak, all over the Old Testament prophets, so that when he did come, everybody could say, oh, that's him. There's no possibility that that's not him. You understand? So really, if you're trying to locate somebody, let's say you lost track of a high school friend or something, you got to start narrowing it down. You got to find, okay, which country are they living in? Then you got to narrow it down to the city. Then you got to narrow it down to the part of the city, then the street, and then the house number, and so forth. And then you remember that they were a male, so it's got to be a male living in that house. And the more criteria you have ahead of time, the better chance it is when you locate that person. Aha, that is Joe Blow. You know what I'm talking about? So throughout the Bible, God has put Jesus' ID, so to speak, or his Messiah ID. This is who he's going to be when he shows up. It gives his ethnic background. It gives his place of birth. It gives the time frame of his arrival and many other different characteristics. That whenever all these things come to pass, it's impossible to be a coincidence. Amen. And we're going to find out who the fool is. The atheist who says there is no God and the Bible's not true. Or is it true that the Bible is true and Jesus is who he said he was? Amen. All right. Now, with that understanding, sometimes people will say, well, why is it then that the Jews didn't receive him if all those things were true? It's very simple to understand that whenever Jesus came on the scene, by that time the rabbis had turned the Messiah in through their teachings. They had turned the Messiah into someone who was going to be a political leader who delivered them from Rome's tyranny. And that was so ingrained into the Jewish mindset at the time that when Jesus didn't get elected, nor did he lead a rebellion against the Romans, they set him aside and said, he's not the one. But see, when you look at him in the Old Testament scriptures, he has to be the one. Okay, you ready to go through some of these? First of all, you know, a lot of these scriptures you won't have the time to go to. I do want you to go to Isaiah, though. Let's look at how God said ahead of time he would do some things. Let's go to the 48th chapter, and we're going to look then at the 46th chapter as well, but we'll start in the 48th chapter of Isaiah. Here's how God said ahead of time he would do some things. This is Isaiah 48. Look with me at verses 3 through 5. I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them. I did them suddenly, they came to pass, because I knew that thou art obstinate, and thy neck is an iron sinew, and thy brow brass. In other words, he knew people were going to be hard-headed. And we're going to doubt. So he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen ahead of time. Which is humanly impossible at a certain point. You can try to predict some things and maybe hit and miss some things. But whenever you get to the level God did it and to the factor, when you factor in the number of times he did it, it's impossible that Jesus wasn't the one. All right, and then he said in verse 5, I have even from the beginning declared it to thee because it came to pass, before it came to pass, I showed it thee, lest thou shouldst say, mine idol hath done them, and my graven image and my molten image hath commanded them. In other words, you know, idols were the power behind this. So Jesus is saying, or God is saying, this is how I'm going to do it. Now go back to the 46th chapter. Let's just look at another passage. There's a lot of this in the Old Testament. We'll just look at a couple of them. Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient time the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Amen. All the scriptures, even the Old Testament, is about Jesus. And we've got to recognize that Jesus, after his resurrection from the dead, I'm just going to be quoting a lot of scriptures. You might not have time to go to all these, but in Luke 24, verses 25 through 27, in fact, I just want to encourage you to listen and not try to get all the scriptures written down, because there's going to be so many you're going to eventually say, I wish I'd have just listened. You can get the CD and go look them up and see if I'm telling the truth or not. There's a high probability, mathematically. Jesus, after his resurrection, he said to the disciples, this is, a lot of these will be in the NIV, he said, how foolish are you and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken? Because after he raised from the dead, he's walking beside two men on the road to Emmaus, and they were discussing Jesus' crucifixion, and Jesus started walking beside them after his resurrection, and they didn't recognize him. And they were talking about it, and Jesus said, well, you're foolish not to believe the scriptures, because it said he was going to raise from the dead. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what he had, what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. So Jesus proved he was the Messiah to these two men. I'd love to have heard that sermon. Walking on the road to Emmaus, he proved it to them by going back to the Old Testament scriptures and saying, look, this was predicted, and look, that came to pass. Here's something else predicted, and look, it came to pass. Amen. Humanly impossible to do it to the number of times that God did it. Y'all following me? So Jesus clearly taught the Old Testament was all about him and predicting him. And the apostles believed it. In Acts 17, the apostle Paul said, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He reasoned with them from the scriptures. Now, remember, in that day, the only scriptures they had were the Old Testament. So he reasoned from the scriptures, explaining and proving that Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. This Jesus, he said, I am proclaiming to you is the Christ. That's Acts 17, 2 and 3 in the NIV. So Paul himself used the Old Testament scriptures to prove Jesus was the Messiah. Well, what's wrong with us doing it today then? If Jesus did it, Paul did it, then let's go ahead and do this ourselves. Amen. So with that in mind, let's look at the ancient prophecies, and especially concerning the birth of Christ, because this is Christmas. Amen. There are many, many things. Like I said, between 300 and 333 times that something was predicted. But here's just a few of them. Number one, that was predicted that the Messiah will be the seed of a woman, and the Son of God was going to come from a virgin birth. That's in Genesis chapter number 3. Remember, after Satan was deceived Eve, that God came and spoke to Satan and to the man and woman, Adam and Eve. And he said, because you've done this curse, are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl, and you will crawl on your belly, and you, this is the snake, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. Amen. He will crush your head and you will bruise his heel. Notice he said, I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman and her seed. Women don't have seed. All through the Bible, the only time or the only reference to seed is to a male. Well, we know that scientifically. But what is God saying? He's telling us ahead of time that the Messiah would be the one to do Satan the damage that did him in. And the Messiah would come of the seed of a woman. A woman doesn't have seed, so it was predicting a virgin birth. Now, that's not the only scripture that said that. Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel. Well, Matthew says that came to pass. Matthew 1:22 and 23. It tells us that the virgin, all this took place, fulfilling what the Lord has said to the prophet. The virgin will be with child and deliver a son, call his name Emmanuel. Matthew 1:22 and 23. And then in Luke's account, remember, Mary asked, how's this all going to be, seeing I don't know a man? And the Holy Ghost, or the angel, said, the angel answered, "Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So shall the Holy One that is born of you be called the Son of God." So the birth came through a virgin birth, and that was prophesied that that's how it would come to pass. This prophecy was written between, in Isaiah I'm talking about, the one in Isaiah was written between 700 and 680 BC. So that's approximately 700 years before Jesus was even born. How many of you know that's to predict that and predict how it would happen is an amazing statistic. But that's only one in over 300. Really, when you come to various different facts in those 300 verses, 456. You still there? You're going home. So really, the second one is the Messiah would be the descendant of Noah's son, Shem. And that actually came to pass. Genesis 9, 26 and 27 is where it's prophesied that Shem was blessed of the Lord and the others would serve him. Genesis 10, 22 through 29, the son of Shem would be the one. He had two sons, Eber. Eberly comes out of that, you know. Praise the Lord. Eber was one of them. And if you go over there to... I'm just blessed. Hallelujah. If you go over to Luke 3:35, when the Bible gives Jesus' genealogy. Jesus' genealogy goes back to Eber. And that was the one that was his great to the 10th power, whatever it is, grandpa, way back genealogically. That was prophesied that he would come through the line of Shem. Woo, glory. But it didn't stop there. Then the prophecy came that the Messiah would descend from Abraham. See, every one of these times, every one of these things that were predicted, when they came to pass, it makes the probability of all these things happening less and less. Eventually, it becomes a mathematical impossibility. It was predicted that he would be the descendant of Abraham. Genesis 12:3, all people of the earth shall be blessed through you and through thy offspring. Genesis 22:18 says, through thy offspring, all nations of the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Then you know if there's anything established in the New Testament and even in Luke 3:34, where Jesus' genealogy is given, it is that that Jesus came from Abraham's seed. Amen. That makes another degree an impossibility. The Messiah was predicted to be of the order of Melchizedek. Well, that was a prediction that he would not come out of the tribe of Aaron or the Aaronic priest, the priesthood tribe. Amen. And he did not come. He came through the tribe of Judah, which was prophesied. And we'll get to that in a moment. So it says he would be after the order of Melchizedek. That's prophesied in Psalm 110, verse 4. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are forever a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And you go over through Hebrews and it says that over and over and over again that that's what he was. Then in the book of, then it was prophesied that he would be the descendant of Isaac. See, Abraham had many more children than just Isaac. Every time God narrows down who the one would be that the Messiah would come to, ahead of time tells it. It makes it less and less probable just mathematically. So he narrows it down to Isaac. This is way ahead of time. To be able to predict it is one thing, but to predict it 3,000 or 4,000 years ahead of time is only of God. Then he said, that's in Genesis 17, 19 through 21. There's other verses, but he said in verse 21, but my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year. So the covenant is a reference to the Messiah would come through this seed, Isaac. Ishmael had been born. He had been the firstborn. Normally he'd be the one in line, but God said, no, it's going to be Isaac. Then the Messiah was prophesied to descend through Jacob. Isaac had 12 sons. To pick the right tribe, it makes it less possible. He was prophesied to be through Jacob. And once again, specifically narrowing down that the Messiah would come through certain, narrowing down the possibilities of this being the Messiah whenever he came. And there's many Old Testament verses about that. So later at the time of Exodus, Israel entered the Promised Land, God made the false prophet Balaam bless Israel, though he had wanted to curse them. You remember that? Included in his divinely required words is this reference to the ruler that would come in Jacob's line far in the future. Numbers 24, 17, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. Scepter is a term for a king, you know. And that's a prophecy. Hallelujah. What's the more of these you add to it, the probability of this coming to pass is impossible. Other than by the power of God, I'm talking about. So next thing is, it was prophesied that the Messiah would descend from Judah. That was one of the 12 boys. Amen. So Judah actually was the tribe through which he came, and it's prophesied in Genesis 49:10. The scepter will not depart out of Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he come to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his. So that's prophesying that the real rulership of the world belongs to the Messiah coming through Judah. Amen. 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 From Isaiah's word 700 years before to Jacob's blessing almost 2,000 years before, God fulfilled his promise in the birth of Jesus. That's an amazing statistic. Then in Luke 3:33 and 34 again, it says that Jesus' line went up all the way up through Jacob, you know, went through Joseph. It went through the tribe of Judah. Then it went through Jacob and then on up through there, just like the Bible had prophesied. Amen. The Bible prophesied that he would be a prophet like Moses. And that is prophesied in Deuteronomy 18:15 through 19. And the similarities between Moses and Jesus are amazing. They were both prophets. They were both leaders. They're both lawgivers. Moses, the Old Testament law. Jesus, the law of love. They were both deliverers. Moses out of Egypt. Jesus out of sin and out of the curse of the law. They were both teachers. They were both priests. They were both anointed ones. They were both mediators between God and man. They were both human. They were both Jews. They were both miracle workers. Into that. On top of that, they were both, as infants, both of their lives were threatened by evil kings. Both would be supernaturally protected from harm during infancy. Both spent their early years in Egypt. Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness as a type of the one that was to come like unto him. Amen. You still there? You're going home. Impossible to make all these predictions if you're not God. Amen. So it's becoming more and more likely that Jesus is the Messiah. Yes. Amen. Yes. The next one is that it was prophesied that the Messiah will be a descendant of the family of Jesse. Isaiah 11, 1 through 5. A shoot will come forth out of the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding and counsel. And it goes on. And it obviously is reference to Jesus if you read the whole passage. See, I don't have time to read it. I'll just give you references. You can write them down. That's Isaiah 11, 1 through 5. Then Isaiah 11, 10. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the people. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. Matthew 1, 5 through 6 gives Jesse a part of Jesus' lineage. Came to pass. The Messiah was prophesied to be of the lineage of David. If there's anything that's fulfilled in the New Testament, there's two pages here of scriptures. Well, three pages. How far can we go here? 3.5 pages full of scriptures that refers to David, to Jesus being the seed of David. Amen. That was all fulfilled. We won't take time to read all of that. He was prophesied to be born in the small town called Bethlehem. Now this starts getting more and more unlikely whenever you pick the town in the whole planet. The prophet Micah in Micah 2:5 says, But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Amen. Matthew 2, 1 through 6. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, there it came to pass. During the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and said, "Where is the one who was born king of the Jews?" Later on they asked, where was he born? And in Bethlehem of Judea, the Magi replied, "For this is of where the prophet had written, 'But you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, and by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler.'" And so they're basically saying, because this king wanted to kill all the babies, you remember. And so he was asking facetiously, "Where is this one to be born?" They said, Bethlehem. They all knew that from the prophets. And that's where he was born. Remember when the angels appeared and sang to the shepherds, he said, "Be not afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. It'll be to all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Then later they said, the shepherds said, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has been done, for the Lord has told us about it." So Bethlehem was the city of David. People have tried to argue, well, it didn't say Bethlehem there. They just said Bethlehem. Well, see, David was out of Bethlehem too, but it was a reference to a ruler after David. See, David had grown up in Bethlehem, but Micah prophesied it way after David's years that somebody was going to come out of Bethlehem. So this is talking about somebody other than David. Y'all still thinking? You got your reasoning hats on? See, some people want to be mental. Let's be mental. The next one is, the prophets prophesied the Messiah's birth would be associated with a massacre of infants. Jeremiah prophesied. He said, "This is what the Lord says. A voice is heard in Ramah, mourning and great weeping. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because her children are no more." Now, this is specifically spelled out, the locale of where that the king would try to kill off all the babies to kill Jesus. It mentions which babies he would kill. They are the Jewish babies. And he mentioned what town, and that is where Rachel, this is near the borders of Benjamin, where Rachel was. Rachel was the wife of, who was it, Isaac? Was it Isaac, I believe? See, you don't know either, but it's a reference back to her life. Where was she from? And he's telling them that there's going to be a massacre at the area where Rachel came out of back there in those years. Amen. Matthew clearly ties the historic, barbaric act of King Herod to this ancient prophecy. Matthew says in Matthew 2, 16 through 18, when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. Because remember, they didn't go back because the angel or the dream came, I guess it was, and said, "Don't go back and tell King Herod where the baby is." Because he wanted to kill the baby because he found out he was going to be king of the Jews, and he didn't want anybody rising up to be a king, so he was going to kill all the babies. But they tricked him, and they didn't go back. So King Herod was furious. He gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. They said through the prophet Jeremiah that it was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, and it quotes that prophecy in Jeremiah. What's the possibility of somebody predicting that ahead of time? That there'd be a massacre of babies. Amen. Then it says that the Messiah, in the Old Testament, says the Messiah will come out of Egypt. After a while, you know, you go on and on. After a while, you realize, okay, this is getting less probable. That somebody could make this up and guess this many times and get it right. Just guess it. But it was prophesied that the Messiah would come out of Egypt. You remember that whenever the massacre was getting ready to happen of all the babies, the angel spoke to Joseph and said, "Go over into Egypt until I tell you to come back." And he avoided the massacre, Jesus being killed at an early age, because he obeyed the dream. Remember that? Hosea 11:1 says, "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." Now, that could, you might think that's just talking about Israel, but Matthew 2, 14 through 15 says, he got up, took the child, this is talking about Joseph, he took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod, and so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." So it's not just Israel that he's referring to, it's the Messiah that he's referring to. Then here's another one. You still there? You're going home. It says the Messiah will be from Galilee, and specifically Nazareth in Galilee. It's relatively easy to establish this one. This is the prophecy, Isaiah 9, 1 through 2. "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress in the past. He humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. In those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." Praise God. 700 years later, this is what Matthew 2, 22 through 23 says. "But when they heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea. This is the parents of Jesus. Whenever they heard that this new man came in the place of his father, Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. This is Matthew talking about Joseph and Mary bringing Jesus out of Egypt, and they were afraid to go to a certain place because this man that had killed all the babies had a son now in charge. They didn't want to go back there. So they went to Galilee, and they went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So it was fulfilled, which was said through the prophet, "He shall be called a Nazarene." Matthew 4, 12 through 16 talks exactly, quotes that scripture, and said that's where he was from. That's where Jesus grew up. Amen. Pilate and the others, at times of Jesus' arrest, considered Jesus to be a Galilean as well. The Bible says in Matthew 26, "Now Peter was sitting in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. 'Oh, you also were with Jesus of Galilee,' she said." So everybody knew Jesus was from Galilee. And the prophets prophesied he's going to live in Galilee. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. He's going to go over into Egypt. He's going to then come back to Galilee. How on earth are you going to be able to predict that without the Holy Ghost being the one that's doing all this? Amen. Well, how many of you want to keep on going? It says that the Messiah will come during a time when crucifixion was a manner of death. Two people in the Old Testament, both David and Isaiah, prophesied that Jesus would be crucified in a crucifixion type of death. When actually back in their day, in David's day and in Isaiah's day, crucifixion was not even known of. It wasn't a form of judgment for what they thought here, Jesus. They thought he was a blasphemer. They thought he was a criminal, you know. He died a criminal's death. But that way of crucifixion wasn't even in existence back then. In fact, even in Jesus' day, stoning was the penalty for blasphemy, which they were accusing him of. But see, he wasn't even stoned. Because actually in Jesus' day, the Jews lost jurisdiction of Jesus' trial and went over into the Romans' courts. And they tried him in Roman courts. And through their way of doing it, he was crucified. Here in Psalm 22, 16 through 18, it says, "They have pierced my hands and my feet." This is the prophet David prophesying. "I can count all my bones. People stare and glare over me. They divide my garments among them. They cast lots for my clothing." That's a prophecy of Jesus' crucifixion. So here's three things. Number one, they said that his hands and feet would be pierced. That's a way of dying that they didn't even know of back then. They said that they would part his garments and cast lots. Two separate things. Isaiah 52:14 says, "Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured before them, as many as his form marred beyond human likeness." Well, that happened only in the crucifixion type of thing. Amen. You still there? So that was prophesied hundreds of years ahead of time. How can it be that if this is just a coincidence, then how can it be possible? This is getting close to a mathematical impossibility so far, and we haven't only gone through, what have we gone through? Maybe a dozen at the most. Amen. Then it was prophesied that the Messiah will come at a prophesied time. Did you know in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verses 24 through 26, it lays out the number of years from this happening to, and this was Daniel prophesying future things, the number of years from this happening to this happening. And then after that, number of years from that happening to this happening. And then from that number of years up until the Messiah being cut off. And then from that number of years, this will happen. Daniel prophesied all that. And do you know that it was fulfilled to the day Jesus entered into Jerusalem on the donkey? Amen. Prophesied hundreds of years ahead of time. Amen. To the day fulfilled. Amen. What is the mathematical possibility of just that one coming to pass? If it's not divine, is what I'm saying. If he's not the Messiah. Y'all still there? You're going home. We could take about three services just on that one and go through it. Many times people don't realize that it's back there. Here's the conclusion. The allegations of these things being a coincidence, even mathematically, is impossible. And we've just given you, I think I didn't count up the ones I skipped over some. I don't remember exactly how many I've given you there. Maybe some of you know. About a dozen maybe. Think that's about right? 15. Now, statistics say that with just eight of these things being predicted, the possibility of eight of them being predicted accurately is already in the realm of impossibility, mathematically. Just eight of them. Amen. Not quite impossible, but almost in the realm of impossibility. Just eight of them. For simplicity's sake, just eight of the ones that have been predicted, that I, some of the ones I went over, is a 10 with 28 zeros after it. Just eight of them. Amen? When you get up to 48 of these things coming to pass, that raises the impossibility, the mathematical impossibility, up to a 10 with 157 zeros after it. Just 48 of them. Now when you go into, and they didn't even give me a number with all the ones, that there is already beyond the realm of possibility in the natural without God being the one that said it ahead of time and Jesus being the one who is truly the Messiah. That's already beyond, that's just 48 of them and already beyond, well beyond the realm of mathematical possibility. That it's just a coincidence. Am I making sense this morning? But yet, that's just 48. There are really four, or really there's, the facts are 456. There are three, let's just conservatively say 300 scriptures that predict certain things that we could go through and say, here's where it was prophesied, here's where it was fulfilled. There's many other things we don't have time to go over. You getting to my point? They didn't even give me a number on that. I'm still researching what that number is. But even if there was only 48 of them, now, how did they come to this statistic? They went back, a man named, let me give you his name here. His name is John Stoner. Got together a group of people in 12, they did this over 12 different classes in a university. And they got together and they picked out all these prophecies and began to calculate, somehow they know how to do all this, calculate the possibility of a prediction like that coming to pass. Like, for example, if you know the size of the town of Bethlehem, you know the general population, then you could calculate the possibility of one person coming out of there being a king. You know, and then they add in all the other factors based on how many other towns there are. They get to a place where the probability is one to so many with one chance to attend with so many zeros after. They know how to do all this stuff. I don't know how to do all of it. I just have to trust them. Unless you think this is biased, they did this in 12 different classes. Excuse me, they did it in, 12 different classes with 600 different students helping them. Mathematical students helping them. And not only that, but they let the professionals check out all the their figures to see if it was factual. Then they let all the doubters who don't even believe in Jesus challenge them. Go ahead, challenge, see if this is accurate or not. And so far they've not gotten any real challenges. See, they don't want to look at the facts. Amen. Now, that is all just based on the probability of somebody, like just the one about Bethlehem, just the probability of the Messiah coming out of Bethlehem. That's not counting in the probability of being able to predict it 700 years in advance. Yeah, they realize every one of these factors that get added in make it less probable. What's the chance of you this afternoon going to the moon? Very slim chance. Isn't that right? But there is a slight chance. Somebody could arrest you real quick, take you to the place and take you. You could take off. Slim chance, right? But what's the probability of you going to the moon and then going on to Mars? The chance goes way down. Because they don't have the technology for a human being yet to get out that far. And then what's the chance of you going on to Mars and then going on out to Pluto, which is not no longer a planet, they said. It's less and less. Well, what's the chance of doing that and then coming back alive? Well, see, every time you factor something else in, the chance gets less. And that's what I'm saying. 456 facts that came to pass, prophesied about Jesus years ahead of time, just makes it impossible that he's not the Messiah. That's just mathematically, besides the fact that he raised from the dead. Besides the fact that he did all the miracles that he did. Am I in the right room this morning? Now, let's just look at a couple of other interesting ones just because it's fun to look at them. Do you enjoy seeing how the Bible predicted these things ahead of time? We'll just look at a couple of other ones. It predicted that Jesus would enter into Jerusalem triumphantly entering riding a donkey in Isaiah 62 verse 11. And Zechariah 9:9. It predicted these things. Here's Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey. On a colt, the foal of a donkey. See, it didn't just say a donkey. It said a colt, the young donkey. Now, if it said a donkey, there's a chance of that coming to pass. But then whenever you get more specific, there's less a chance of that coming to pass. But they predicted that. And you know from Matthew 21, 1 through 9, Jesus fulfilled that. And it predicted in Psalm 118, 26, that they would say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And they said that in Matthew 21 there whenever he came in. Praise be to God. Here's another prediction that Jesus would be betrayed with 30 pieces of silver. Specifically predicted in Zechariah 11, 12 through 13. Amen. It says here, if you think it best, give me my pass, but if not, keep it. So they paid me 30 pieces of silver, and the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter, the handsome price at which they priced me. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord to the potter. Matthew 26, 15 says, because remember what happened, Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. It's recorded in the scriptures. He betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. And it says in Matthew 26, 15, they asked, what are you willing to give me? Judas asked, what are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you? So they counted it for him, 30 silver coins. Now, it predicted there in Zechariah 11 that I just quoted, it says that he was going to cast that money back into the temple, and they were going to use it to buy the price of a potter's field. Matthew 27, 3 through 10. Are you enjoying this? I am. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. I have sinned, he said, for I have betrayed innocent blood. What is that to us? They replied. That's your responsibility. So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. The chief priest picked up the coins and said, it's against the law to put this into the sanctuary since it is blood money. So they decided to use the money to buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. That is what had been called the field of blood to this day. What was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. They took the 30 silver coins, the price of him by the people of Israel, and they used them to buy the potter's field as the Lord commanded me. What's the chance of predicting that? Besides that, predicting not only the price, but that he would turn it back in and throw it on the floor of the temple. Not only that, but what they would do with the money after it was. Oh my goodness. Praise the Lord. It was predicted that Jesus would be forsaken. Zechariah 13:7 says, a sword against my shepherd, against the man who is close to me, declares the Lord Almighty, strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. I will turn my hand against the little ones. Matthew 26:31 says that was fulfilled. Remember, they all denied him and they all ran whenever he was arrested. Then it predicted that Jesus would be struck whenever he was on trial. Zechariah 13:7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is close to me, declares the Lord Almighty, strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. I just quoted that. So they struck him. Micah 5:1, marshal troops, O city of troops, for the siege is laid against it. Then will strike Israel's ruler on the chief with cheek with a rod. Matthew said it came to pass. They spit on him, took the staff, and struck him on the head again and again. Matthew 27:30 in the NIV. That came to pass. And that says that he would be spit on. Did you read that? The Bible says here in Matthew 26:67 that he was. Then they spit on his face and struck him with their fist. Others slapped him. Matthew 27:30 says they spit on him, took the staff, and struck him on the head. That's what I just read. Well, that was prophesied. All these make it less and less possible that it was a coincidence, and it gets to the points where it's actually totally impossible that Jesus wasn't the Messiah, even mathematically. It says that he would be pierced in his hands and his feet. We already read that. It says that Jesus would be given vinegar and gall, Psalm 69:21. And that was fulfilled. Jesus drank it and he said he didn't want it anymore. Psalm 69:21 says they put gall as my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst. That came to pass. It predicted Jesus the Lamb would have none of his bones broken. Some of these are very, very interesting. They're so specific. Exodus 12:46. It must be eaten inside. This is talking about the Passover lamb. Eaten inside the house. Take none of the meat outside the house. Do not break any of the bones. Jesus, that was a type of Jesus, you remember. Then Psalm 34:20 says, He protects all my bones. Not one of them will be broken. That's in the context of a lot of prophetic messianic prophecies that David gave there in Psalm 34. You can read the context and find out it's predicting that about Jesus. Then you read John 19:31-37, which I won't read it all, but you can just listen to the basic general facts. The soldiers were trying to get them off the crosses before the Sabbath came. And so they got permission to break their bones in order to help them die quicker. Well, they broke one man's bones. This is all in John. You can go read it. John there, I gave you the reference, the 19th chapter, 31-37. And then they got to Jesus and they saw he was already dead. So they didn't break his bones, but they stuck a sword in his side. Water and blood came out. Amen. So not any of his bones are broken, just like prophesied. That was against even probability because the soldiers did that to get him to die earlier. Amen. Jesus' dying words were prophesied. Psalm 22:1. For the it says, the psalm of David, "Oh, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning?" Then Psalm 31:5. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Jesus said both of those things in Matthew's account, Matthew 27:46, and in Luke 23:46. Amen. Prophesied even what he would say. Then it says they would cast lots for his garments. Prophesied in Psalm 22:18. It says in Psalm 22:18, they divided my garments among them, cast lots for my clothing. John 19:24 says that came to pass. It says he would raise from the dead. Psalm 16:8-11. David prophesied and said, thou wilt not suffer from thy Holy One to see corruption, nor my abandon me and let my body decay, NIV says. Well, that all came to pass. After 3 days, his body didn't decay. After 3 days, it was raised again from the dead. Praise be the Lord. And Acts 2:25-32 says David was a prophet, and he was prophesying that not about himself, but he was prophesying it about the Messiah. Because David's body did decay. Y'all there? You're going home. Well, there is no possibility, even mathematically. I've only read to you. Have you kept count of how many there, hon? Well, we're well over 20, maybe 25 there, huh? So there's no, that's just some of the 300 things, or 300 verses, I should say, 456 facts that were prophesied ahead of time that came to pass. Every single thing prophesied came to pass. Now let me ask you, who's the fool? People say we're foolish for believing that the Bible is the Word of God and that Jesus is the Messiah. This is like an Old Testament thumbprint. Whenever you find the one that all these things match, all these prophecies match, he's the Messiah. Amen. He is the Son of God. It prophesied that he would be born of the seed of God, because it says the seed of a woman. Well, the seed doesn't come from one; it has to come from some other. Has to come from God. Then, if it's not a human being, are you all there? So this thumbprint fits the Messiah perfectly. It fits Jesus perfectly. With that being said, we have to know that Jesus was the one. Yeah. The Old Testament Jews, actually, they have record of rabbis that have tried to avoid addressing these subjects because they would have to admit that Jesus is the one. Well, maybe you don't doubt that. If you do struggle, then this is going to help your faith. But there's a world out there that doubts these things. So what you can do is get well versed in these things, and they say, you're foolish for believing that. You can just take this CD to them, or you can take these scriptures to them and then say, listen to this, open your Bible and read it, and then ask yourself, who's the fool? Which one is the fool? See, the fool has said there is no God. We don't say that to fight with people. We say that to realize that it's just not wise to go against those kind of mathematical probabilities. you know. Somebody might say, well, you know, there's no chance of you becoming president. You're foolish to believe you could ever become president. Well, there's trillions of times more of a chance of you becoming president than Jesus not being the Messiah. If Jesus is the Messiah, if all these things were fulfilled, then there's more of a chance mathematically that that's true than you'll become president is true. Sometimes people say, well, you're a fool to believe that, you know, lightning ever would strike you or all those things. There's trillions of times more a chance that you become president, lightning strikes you, and meteor fall on your house all in the same day. There's trillions of times more chance of that happening than the chance that they lied about all these prophecies or that somebody made these things up. How could it be? Who would be smart enough to be able to figure that all out and plan that all out? Well, there's just nobody that smart around. Even computers today can't figure all those kinds of things out and predict them ahead of time. Did you get anything out of this morning? What are we saying? That baby born in the manger was the Son of God. He did come and He was who He said He was. He did die for your and my sins. He did raise from the dead. He is at the right hand of the Father because all these are things that He said. And if He's the one and it was impossible that He not be the one, then what He said has to be true. What is the chance then of you believing the Bible and it not be true? Because it's all about Him. And besides that, He said all these things Himself. He said, for example, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. What is the chance of you not believing and going to heaven? Mathematically, right? Mathematically impossible. Amen. Some of you didn't catch that transition, but if He is who He said He was, then what He said is true then. Besides that, all the prophecies He Himself prophesied are coming to pass. He prophesied Israel coming back to be a nation again. He prophesied the end times and all these nations coming against Israel like they're turning toward them right now. All these things Jesus said, they're all coming to pass. I would not take the chance, my friend. If you've not said, Jesus, you're my Lord, you're my Messiah, I would not take the chance another day. I would bow my knee to the Lord Jesus Christ today. How many zeros would be after those 456 facts? I think you can safely say probably more than 1,000 zeros. That's way beyond the chance that it's not true. Amen.
If you would like more information about Pastor Jay Eberly's ministry, please visit us on the web at soffc.org or call us at 319-366-2147, or you can write us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.